In the translation of the psalm you read earlier in the New Century Hymnal, these words were in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in nobles, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. I need to say the translation used for the Psalms in our hymnal was done by my seminary New Testament professor, the late Reverend Dr. Burton Throckmorton. In the November newsletter, there was an article by our Director of Music Ministries, Mary Williams. She touched on the idea that we strive to have some unity in our services among the scripture readings, the hymns, the anthem, the prelude, and the postlude. Mary noted she and I meet and review the lectionary readings for each Sunday. As you may be aware, we use and follow what is known as the Revised Common Lectionary. Many mainline Protestant churches and the Roman Church follow a 3-year set of readings. Each denomination has some variations built into the lections, but the readings are, for the most part, at least similar. We're kind of saying the same things in a lot of churches, or hearing the same things. Why follow set readings? Certainly part of the point is so parishioners can experience a range of readings over time. I would also suggest using a lectionary places a helpful constraint on a pastor. You see, when the lectionary is followed, parishioners are not being subjected to what may simply be the favorite readings of the pastor week after week after week. Equally, the discipline offered by following a lectionary, the pastor is, in a sense, obligated to deal with readings which may be obscure or difficult to understand when initially read. Coming back to what Mary said, we strive to have unity in the course of worship. How does that work? How do Mary and I come to that place? Well, I gather some thoughts based on the readings and send them to Mary. Then we sit together, discuss a general direction, a message, and find hymns that support the readings as we work on refining a direction for the service. So rather than take a look first at the psalm we read today, as happens in my remarks often, I'd like to make a comment or two about the work known as the Book of Psalms, the whole book. The first thing to say is, it's organized into 5 sections, 5 books. A lot of people don't know that. Second, the words found in Psalms are not just poetry. I think even in translation we can discern these words are lyrics, words meant to be heard with music. Do we know what that ancient music in the temple might have sounded like? No, we don't. Now, as you know, I write lyrics on occasion, and I have over time written lyrics with and for 3 composers. And we, the composers and I, all agree. Lyrics are not simply poetry. Lyrics are different. Take diversions, paths poetry might not take. Discover and uncover rhythms in syllables and words and sentences. In any case, the bottom line is the Book of Psalms is a hymnal filled with lyrics. In fact, over time, you may have heard me say, this book is the hymnal of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. Which brings me back to the topic of organization. One glance at our New Century hymnal should tell you it's organized in several ways. To name two, it's organized thematically and theologically. The same is true for the Book of Psalms. It's organized. And I want to stress, in my following comments, the theological organization. You see, Psalm 146 is the opening work in the last book, Book 5 of the Psalms. Hence, it has a task. And the task Psalm 146 tries to accomplish is to illuminate the entire work, the entire book of Psalms. It recalls the beginning of the Psalter, Psalms 1 and 2, which orients the reader to hear the Torah, the instruction found in Scripture. This is one instruction emphasized. We need to trust God. Do not trust human rulers. Psalm 146 also recalls the message at the theological heart of the Psalter, Psalms 93, 95, and 99. God reigns. It recalls that message with one phrase. In Burke Throckmorton's translation, it says, quote, "Praise be to God." Often that phrase is translated with only one word, Alleluia. That one word is a proclamation which praises God because God reigns. This analysis that I've just offered is a simple concept. The hymnal known as the Book of Psalms illuminates and is in the service of the Torah, the instruction, the learning. Now, if Psalm 146 is a hymn from a hymnal, that brings up an interesting issue. What do music and lyrics say to us? How do we hear music and lyrics? Do we really deeply listen? Or do we go on autopilot, not pay attention to what is being said by the music and the lyrics, especially when the hymn is familiar? Today, for the postlude, Bob will play an arrangement of the well-known hymn, My Eyes Have Seen the Glory. In our hymnal, that's number 610. Needless to say, this hymn is also known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. To see this work as a patriotic piece of music is to completely and utterly misunderstand what it says, what it means, and is a violation of the biblical context in which it was written and the biblical message about which it was written. It is a hymn about the justice God seeks. Not a hymn about nationalism or patriotism or any justice sought by a human entity. Julia Ward Howe, a suffragette, an abolitionist, wrote the text to a camp meeting tune, a religious revival tune, when she witnessed a parade of Union troops near Washington, D.C. This was after the election, but before the inauguration of Lincoln, just before the onset of the Civil War. The hymn was intended to express not patriotism, but a clear sense of a religious call to action. It was a summons to proclaim freedom, not just for the privileged in society, but for all people, the outcast, the downtrodden, the enslaved. The hymn, if we are true to the sense of what the words actually mean, remains a call to action, action which might ensure the freedom offered in the reality of the dominion of God. Therefore, to treat this hymn as a call to nationalism or as a call to patriotism just entirely misses the point of the sentiments being expressed. This hymn, if you look at it carefully, is not even about a specific nation or country. It is a call to humanity to work for peace, freedom, justice, God's peace, God's freedom, God's justice. It is a call to humanity to do the work of God, not the work of governments. Indeed, as Christians, we need to pay particular attention to the last lines, which read, "As Christ died to make us holy, let us die to make all free." All free. While God is marching on. If looked at in any light, this hymn should be looked at as sobering. After all, does God's peace, God's freedom, God's justice prevail now, here, today? If this work stirs up emotions in us, those emotions should inform us that injustice exists in our world. That injustice is real. That injustice is pervasive. And that we need to work at countering it. Indeed, I invite you to examine the insert in today's bulletin with quotes about justice. I might even say it is important to look at that insert. As you know, today is our enlistment Sunday. What does that have to do with justice? One of the things we try to accomplish here with our giving is making sure it has nothing to do with paying for the heat or electric bills. We try to ensure what we give is used to further the dominion of God, the reign of God, the justice of God. What does that mean? In a real sense, it means our pledges are lyrics. Lyrics which say we trust God, not human rulers. Our giving acts as a lyric which says, "Alleluia, praise be to God." One last thing. In making a pledge, we need to understand the rulers of this world, the governments of this world, are finite. And yes, we too are finite. We are all here for a limited time. In that time, in our time, we are called to seek and to do God's will and God's work. If what we offer to this church helps just a little in doing what this psalm calls us to do, seeking justice for the oppressed, giving food to the hungry, setting prisoners free, lifting up those who are bowed down, upholding orphans, widows. Then we are seeking to do the will of God, to do the work of God. Amen.